In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, I wish to continue to speak about the Holy Rosary in this month of October. And some of this you have heard before, but hopefully it will be just a reinforcement, a helpful reinforcement to help you grow in your devotion in this wonderful gift that God has given to us through Our Lady's hands. And I would like to speak about what happened in Austria and Brazil and how these two countries were saved from communism through the power of the Rosary. And as we look about ourselves, we see efforts at work to impose socialism and communism in various countries in the world, not excluding our own. There are forces at work that want to deprive people of their God-given rights. So the urgency is most obviously there. So let us heed the lessons from history. And I read now from an extract on what happened in Austria. At the end of World War II, the Allies allowed Catholic Austria to be turned over to the Russians. The Austrians tolerated the Soviet domination for 3 years, but that was enough. They wanted the Soviets out of their country. But what could Austria do? 7 million people against 220 million in Russia. Then a priest, Father Petrus, remember Don Juan of Austria, outnumbered by the Turks, Don Juan led the papal, Venetian, and Spanish ships against the Turks at Lepanto, and through the power of the Rosary, miraculously defeated them. So Father Petrus called for a Rosary crusade against the Soviets. He asked for a tithe that 10% of the Austrians, 700,000, would pledge to say the Rosary daily so the Soviets would leave their country. And fortunately, 700,000 or so pledged. For 7 years, the Austrians prayed the Rosary. Then on May 13th, the anniversary of the apparition at Fatima in 1955, the Russians left Austria. Even to this day, military strategists and historians are baffled. Why did the communists pull out? Austria is a strategically located country, a door to the West, rich in mineral deposits and oil reserves. To them, it was a mystery. But it really isn't a mystery when we consider the power of prayer and the power of the Rosary. So you may remember historically how the neighboring country of Hungary tried to cast out the Soviets in 1956. And that effort, sad to say, was crushed. But Austria succeeded because enough people committed to praying the Rosary. I am pleased to note that through the efforts of America Needs Fatima, that this past October 12th, they organized, this is really a wonderful thing to realize, they organized 22,662 rosary rallies in our country. And I say bravo, wonderful. Now, I do believe many of them are, of course, Novus Ordo Catholics, and I pray that they can be delivered from the Novus Ordo religion. But this I can applaud them for, that, again, they apparently registered. So they did basically what we do monthly during the summer months, have the Rosary March, or just stay in one public location and pray the Rosary for all the passers-by to see. But 22,662 on this past October 12th. And I say, thank God, and thank our Blessed Mother. Now, we didn't sponsor a public rosary rally ourselves because it was right during the Fatima conference, but the day before we had our candlelight rosary procession. So history tells us that the rosary not only brings about the conversion of heretics, I mean, that was the main reason why Our Lady gave it to St. Dominic. And there's far more heresy today, but it will also be effective and helpful. And it will keep countries even from the horrors of tyranny. So that happened in Austria. Now let's look at Brazil, which is more recent. This happened in the 1960s. In November 1964, an issue of the Reader's Digest, there was a story titled, "The Country That Saved Itself." That country was Brazil. The stage was all set in 1961 to take over Brazil, just like Cuba. But guess who thwarted this communist takeover? It was especially the women of Brazil with their rosaries. "Without the women," said one of the leaders of the counter-revolution, "we could never have halted Brazil's plunge towards communism." One night in mid-1962, Dona Amelia Bastos listened to her husband and a band of anti-communists discuss the looming threat of communism. "I suddenly decided," she said, "that politics had become too important to be left entirely to the men. Moreover, who has more at stake in what's happening to our country than we women?" She formed the Campaign of Women for Democracy. In Belo Horizonte, 20,000 women reciting the rosary aloud broke up the leftist meeting there. In Sao Paulo, 600,000 women praying the rosary in one of the most moving demonstrations in Brazilian history sounded the death knell of the communist revolution. So to put it simply, the communists were forced to leave through the power of prayer, the help of heaven. We forget, my dear brethren, too many times that we need God for everything. "Without me, you can do nothing," our Lord said at the Last Supper to his apostles. And those words will always hold true. "Without me, you can do nothing." No wonder so many human efforts fail over and over and over again, because divine help is not invoked. What makes the rosary so powerful? Well, besides the fact that it was given directly from heaven and we see the results, let us consider a couple of quotations. When Our Lady gave the rosary to St. Dominic, she used an analogy that may not seem readily understandable to us. And it was a military analogy that our Blessed Mother used. She said, "The angelical salutation is like a battering ram." Now, that's not something that comes to my mind when I think of the Hail Mary. But again, the analogy comes from Our Lady herself. So what does a battering ram do? You have to repeatedly hit something in order to bring it down. So as we're praying the rosary, and there's many Hail Marys in the rosary, it can get tedious. But we must not forget the power of the Hail Mary. And by repeatedly saying it, we are wearing down the power of evil. It's not something that should be just said once or twice or a couple of more times. It needs to be said many times. And this is spiritual warfare we're talking about. Remember last Sunday, St. Paul tells us our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers. In other words, St. Paul is saying, ultimately, it's the spiritual battle between good and evil. It's not primarily a political struggle or economic or social. It's spiritual. It's those who will ally themselves with God or the ones that will ally themselves with the devil. And yes, the devil hates the Hail Mary. You make him cringe. You make him uncomfortable, if I can say that, because he knows that it lessens his power. Remember that God said in the Old Testament, in that first and most important prophecy, I believe, of all, I will place enmities between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and she shall crush thy head. And you participate in that crushing of his head by praying your rosary devoutly. Yes, it's a sacrifice to keep your mind on your prayers. How often will we have distractions? But we must keep putting those distractions out. Prepare before you start the rosary. Prepare ahead of time. Make a conscious decision. The distractions will be kept out. That will help a lot. Should we repeat our rosaries or our decades or our prayers? Sometimes we may have gone through a good part of it and we says, was I even thinking about what I was praying? And the general rule is to not repeat our prayers unless we had given into deliberate distraction. So I'm not urging you to repeat prayers over and over again till you do them distraction-free. That's not recommended. But what is necessary is to deliberately put distractions out of our mind. Remember, quality is more important than quantity. Better to pray 5 decades of the rosary well than to pray 15 decades without devotion and without sufficient effort and giving into distractions. That's what makes the rosary powerful, when it's a true prayer. And yes, we have to keep distractions out of our minds. I know sometimes the rosary is prayed when driving. It's not optimal. Some can focus sufficiently, others cannot. But in any case, you have to avoid distractions. And if you're not driving, you don't have to be looking all over the place. That just will vitiate your rosary almost entirely. It has to be a true prayer, a true attention, a true focus. So we have that analogy from Our Lady about the Hail Mary. But Pope Pius XII gave another analogy in one of his encyclicals. And by the way, I don't even have time to talk about Pope Leo XIII, who on average wrote an encyclical on the rosary every year that he was pope. And it was he who decreed public rosary with benediction daily during October. But Pope Pius XII gave as his analogy, the rosary is like the sling of David. Now, if you think about it, it even looks like a sling, but of course, we would never use it as a sling. That would be a sacrilege to twirl it around or something like that. But it's a very apt analogy coming from, as I said, the Holy Father, Pope Pius XII. And remember how desperate it was, how hopeless it was for the Israelites, when they had to face not only the Philistine army, but that enormous man, some 9 foot tall or more. How were they possibly going to
win. It looked hopeless. But that's the point. David's sling with one rock, well, he had five stones, but it was the first stone that brought about the unthinkable. Felled the giant, and he was able to cut off his head. So when things look hopeless, that's where our trust in the rosary needs to be there all the more.
When I looked at the bulletin, it looked like part of the prophecy that St. Dominic gave 800 years ago is cut off. So I'd just like to talk about this, and I'll end with this meeting of St. Francis, St. Dominic, and St. Angelus, who was a Carmelite. Three famous men of God met on a street corner in Rome. They were Friar Dominic, busy gathering recruits to a new religious order of preachers, Brother Francis, who had, of course, just founded the Friars Minor, and Angelus, who had been invited to Rome from Mount Carmel because of his fame as a preacher. At their chance meeting by the light of the Holy Ghost, each of the three men recognized each other, and in the course of their conversations, as recorded by various followers who were present, they made prophecies to each other. St. Angelus foretold the stigmata of St. Francis, and St. Dominic said, "One day, Brother Angelus, to your order of Carmel, the most blessed Virgin Mary will give a devotion to be known as the Brown Scapular, and to my order of preacher, she will give a devotion to be known as the Rosary. And one day, through the Rosary and the Scapular, she will save the world." We know the greatest prayer is the Mass. It's infinite. But you can't have the Mass and the Holy Eucharist reserved in your home. But remember, you can take the Rosary everywhere and make sure it's part of your daily family life. There's so much at stake. Keep praying the Rosary. And when you pray it devoutly, it will make you holy. And it will make our country and the whole world a better place. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.